correct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes.
Welcome back to The Superiority Complex, everyone. We are here ready to talk about our... We took a little field trip after the podcast last week. We cut it short.
Yeah.
We did our summer movie review. Then we cut it short, and we all went to see... We went to the Twin Pine or Lone Pine Mall, depending on what time you get there. And we went to go see the great... why are you shaking your head? It was Twin Pines Mall. Do you not understand the significance of this location?
We're almost Back to the Future.
That really is... You know that's where they filmed it, right?
Marty, we've got to go back to the future.
We're like a quarter mile from Hill Valley High School.
I just hear it all the time.
Oh, so you're tired of hearing it, eh? Oh, yeah. You're tired of hearing about a cultural touchstone.
Yeah.
Weird that you would be on a pop culture podcast. You know what? I owe Jake an apology.
Thank you.
You wait till the microphone is on and then you're a jerk.
Yeah.
He's just a jerk all the time. He can't help it.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Hey, at least, hey, I am consistent. Okay?
Yeah, that's right. You wait till you're a good guy. You got my back. You're telling Jake to shut up in the pre-show meeting. And then all of a sudden the mic comes on. Then now you're the jerk.
Yeah, wait for an audience.
No one likes
he needs-
This is a weird way to begin the show. It's strange.
Welcome back to the podcast.
You know what? I quit.
Whack.
It's a terrible work environment.
You don't get paid.
You'll be hearing from my attorney.
Wow. Handsome Dan Handsome's attorney? Yeah. What's his name?
I don't know.
Ugly Steve Ugly.
Whoa, that's a good name, actually.
That's really good.
You're welcome.
I'm sad that I had to restart the podcast. Because that's a good bit.
Leave it.
Yeah, that's not restart. Yeah, listen, guys. Anyway.
We're not professionals here.
This is the raw, uncut version.
You're seeing all the nuts and bolts in this one.
After the show, we went to see Wrath of Khan.
Where did we go see that at?
We saw that the Twin Pine / Lone Pine
Mall. Also known as the Plenty Hills Mall.
Now, when John and I were young... There was nothing but pine trees as far as the eye could see.
And we took the red car for only a nickel.
So John and I had seen, obviously, we've talked about Wrath of Khan before. We had an episode dedicated to Wrath of Khan.
Mm-hmm.
Back when we used to do our weekly trek up, Caitlin Spain and Martin came in. We've already talked about it with them. But this is it's a great movie. You know, Star Trek aside, it's a movie that I love anyway. So let's talk about it really quickly. John and I are, of course, familiar with it. How many of you, by a show of hands that the audience cannot see, had seen Wrath of Khan before? Raise your hand.
Does it count? John, you don't count. Bits and pieces?
You said people who had seen it.
No, I said who had not seen it.
Had not seen it.
Yeah.
That's Justine and Patrick.
Because I'd seen bits and pieces.
Who had not seen it?
Yeah, so the three. So Jake.
Oh, Jake hadn't seen
Justine,
it.
I hadn't seen either, no.
Oh, wow.
Patrick. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, everybody, how familiar are you with Star Trek?
Like a 7.
Like a 7. Yeah. So you know the characters of the... Have you ever seen any episodes of the original series?
I've been through like 7 in the first series.
Okay.
I started to watch.
Justine?
Like...
And I've seen most of the movies.
A 2.
Like a 2.
That's what I learned from William Shatner, how he talks.
Like a 2. Like,
Star-Lord.
2.
Yeah.
20.
What about
and then like zooming in on the face.
Yeah, yeah. And then... Almost called him Patrick. Jake, how familiar were you with the original Star Trek?
I know the names of some of the characters.
You knew the names of some of the... So beyond
That's it.
The names of some of the characters, that was it.
And I know that they were in a spaceship, and they fly around looking for shit.
All right.
This was a good one to take him to, because this is really... If you had to take somebody to one Star Trek movie, this would be it.
Yes, exactly.
Not so this was a good one to take him to.
Now, was this hard for you to pick up on what was going on, having not seen the original episode called Space Seed? This is interesting because this is the only movie that's really a sequel to an episode of a TV show. So they basically took this episode called Space Seed where they find Khan and his crew floating out. They were, you know... on the run from Earth. Or no, they had been exiled into space, had they not?
Uh-huh.
I don't remember.
They tried it. Yeah, what was that? They were in suspended animation. But I don't know if that was to protect the Earth or if they were just part of the project.
Yeah, Khan had been... He was a product of genetic engineering, late 20th century genetic engineering. There were things called the eugenic wars in the late 1990s. It was basically like ethnic cleansing.
Yeah.
And Khan was kind of like a modern day Genghis Khan, and so he was had control of a huge portion of the earth, and they finally exiled him because
that's why he was in suspended
animation. So they sent him and his crew out into space, and then the Enterprise unwittingly wakes them up. He tries to take over the ship, and then they exile him to life on Seti Alpha 5, which is where we pick up Wrath of Khan. So not having seen it, guys, what were your initial thoughts about – did you enjoy it? First of all, let's go with what you would have given the movie on a scale of 1 to 10. Let's go with Jake first.
I personally loved it. It was super easy to pick up on the story of what was going on. You can kind of tell that they were all
– they did a pretty good job setting it up for people that hadn't seen any of the shows, right?
Yeah, it's like they were – they kind of felt like they were past their prime. They were more in like a leadership position as opposed to being out and adventuring and heading out there then as just a victim of circumstance. And
you know, you didn't have any problem. You're like, I know this Khan. Like, this guy.
I didn't know the character Khan, but they pretty much established his character like within the first 10 seconds of seeing him.
The 20-minute scene of him undoing his... that's so great.
When taking his
layer
glove
by
off.
Layer.
It's like, not yet.
Taking the glove off.
It's the seven veils, yeah. The dance of the seven veils. One
unzipping
more.
The seven shirts he... Taking out the seven shirts he has on.
So what would you give it on a scale of 1 to 10, having never been unfamiliar with Star Trek?
I'd give it like an 8.5.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
For a non-Trek fan, that's
great,
pretty good.
Great pacing, everything.
Justine?
I give it a 7. Just because what's his name died, and I didn't know that was going to happen, so it was kind of sad.
Yeah, yeah. Did you get a little weepy?
Spock.
A little. I mean, I didn't shed a tear. You know me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the fact that you were moved at all, Justine, this is huge.
I didn't know that was going to be the story.
Yeah.
Would probably, if I didn't have that part happen, I'd probably give it a 6 just because. I told you when they were in distress, all of a sudden his button wasn't done.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, "Oh, I gotta fix myself."
We'll go into details in a second about the 80s.
The only reason why I rate it high is because I wanted a prequel to it, which would be the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I wanted a prequel because I wanted to know what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch the episode.
What about you? Now you're familiar with the characters and things like that. And you guys have seen the reboots, right?
Yeah.
You guys have all seen the... Okay.
Oh, okay. So that must have helped to know what Spock's function is.
So you have already basically seen this story in Into Darkness.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's Khan. It's Benedict Cumberbatch.
He's him.
Yeah, that's Khan.
It's the same story.
That's the same story.
Everybody kind of griped that it was just a remake, yeah.
Well, that's cool, though. I mean, they were kind of giving it a nice homage. They did their own twist on that movie, too.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly the same, but it was more like than I thought it was going
to be. Into Darkness gets a lot of hate. I enjoyed it.
I like all the reboots, actually. I like all three of them.
They killed off Chris Pine. It was nice. I just hoped they would have stayed dead for a little bit longer. It would have been nice if they'd done what the movie did and kept him on and dead until the next movie. That would have been nice.
Now, you were hungry for a prequel. How do you feel about going to see the next one, In Search of Spock?
The Search for Spock.
The Search for Spock.
You're thinking of In Search of, which Leonard Nimoy was the host of.
Is that the next episode?
Yeah, because the next couple actually are, it's a continuity, it's a story.
Two, three, and four follow the story.
So there you go.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We'll get you. I have all of them on, I have the whole collection on Blu-ray.
Because it picks up right where that one left off.
Literally.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, yeah. Yeah. Jake, what did you, I'm sorry, I'm looking right at you. Patrick, what did you think?
I would give it probably a 7. Yeah. I would have rated it a little bit higher, but Chris Jolly threw me off.
No, she was beautiful.
Thinking of Cheers?
Yeah. I was like, this is just misplaced for me. It doesn't feel right.
That was before she was ever a star. Yeah.
She was the only thing that really threw me off.
That's funny. Cause
I get it, what they were trying to do.
That's the first time we ever saw her.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, check out the hot Vulcan.
Yeah. Well, not me, because I was like 11.
Yeah.
I see. I was like, I want lasers.
Lasers.
Check out the hot lasers.
Get my feet. Why are there all these pretty girls in here? Where are the lasers?
Now, let me ask you this, guys. This is a 35-year-old movie.
Uh-huh.
Do you think it held up on the big screen? Were the 80s trappings, you know?
Yeah, it was good.
I think what it is...
It wasn't too bad.
This is actually a movie where they keep the special effects to a minimum. There's a couple of big battles, But most of them, it's just them on the ship talking.
It's what they always say with Star Trek is it's really about the characters. It's about the personalities and the stories. It was never really about the special effects because the original run, they were not state-of-the-art special effects even then. You know? Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of like – that's always been the rap it's had, is that if there's anything going for it, it's the personalities, particularly the three big personalities that are always sort of bumping
Scotty,
up against each other.
Uhura.
And that's the this is the perfect case, is that what you're really looking at is how people are reacting to situations. It's not about all the
I kind of miss not having Kirk in a giant fight scene.
Well, you did though. You did on that. But what I love about this movie is that they added one more day, so it will be in theaters again for one month. And the nice thing is, if you get to see it, is it really does. They said that Nicholas Meyer brought a more nautical theme to Starfleet, made it look like, because if you watch the motion picture, they're basically wearing 70s leisure suits.
That first one,
yeah. And in this one, it's very, Starfleet's a little more military, and it does have the feel of like a movie like Run Silent, Run Deep, or Hunt for Red October. It's kind of like this submarine battle.
Oh, yeah. You definitely feel like you're on a submarine the whole time. In space.
And even his apartment, it's got like a nautical theme. He's got like, you know, the telescope and all the...
But he was able to... Nicholas Meyer's a great director, and if you ever want... He actually wrote a lot of Sherlock Holmes pastiches, and his most famous is called The 7% Solution, which itself is a movie that was made in the 70s with Nicole Williamson, where they take Sherlock Holmes to Sigmund Freud to help him kick his cocaine addiction. But
he also did Time After Time,
which is
H.G. Wells and Jack the Ripper in modern day.
Yeah, he's chasing H.G. Wells is chasing Jack the Ripper through time, and it takes place in San Francisco.
Yeah,
didn't they just remake that show?
I don't know.
Yeah, they did. They tried to turn it into a TV show.
Oh, really?
But he's a sharp writer, and what we found out, which I didn't know or had forgotten, is that he had actually written a lot of the script for Wrath of Khan uncredited.
Yeah.
He got in there and really rolled up his sleeves.
And you can see the touches. You can see he has certain touches.
So he saved the franchise, because the first one was pretty tough to sit through.
If you watch Six, which is another one, another great – it's like their last hurrah for the original crew.
Mm, right.
He also wrote and directed that one.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Check
is that
one out.
The Voyage Home?
Mm-hmm. No. Six, The Undiscovered Country.
Oh, right.
The one with
Christopher Plummer.
It's basically the end of the Cold War.
There you go.
Which, you know, Trump has brought back. But anyway, so I was interested to see what you guys thought because, you know, I saw this as in a theater as a kid. And my dad wasn't the biggest Star Trek fan, but, you know, we were going to go see Wrath of Khan because there was a Mexican in it. That's honestly what it was. My dad was like, let's go see Ricardo Montalban, you know, and like, you know, there's finally like, you know.
And what do you think?
He liked Ricardo Montalban. My dad was not a Trekkie.
Yeah.
My dad loved sci-fi.
Yeah.
But not.
That's interesting.
He liked more like alien stuff, more like Aliens, The Thing, like kind of weird sci-fi horror.
Yeah.
He really didn't care about like, hey, let's all live together in harmony. You know, he wanted to see some. He loves Star Wars. You know, he wanted to see some laser blasts.
What did they call this? They said initially the show when he had to sum up. Gene Roddenberry summed it up as Wagon Train to the Stars. He said this is going to be a new adventure every week, and this will be like Wagon Train only in the stars.
Yeah, yeah. And then these guys have no idea what Wagon Train is.
Okay.
Now
they know what a Wagon Train is.
Can I ask? They know what a Loot Train is, thanks to Game of Thrones. Now, what did you not like about it? What, Justine, let's start with you.
Well, the beginning part, because I didn't know they were doing a test.
Uh-huh.
So whenever there was a shot, like someone threw their body and then some part fell and then there was smoke. It looked really cheesy.
Yeah.
That's kind of how the show
looked.
That
was intended, though.
Okay, but when I watched it, I was like, I can't watch this the rest of the way.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then all of a sudden it was a test. I'm like, oh, thank goodness. That made me really happy. I didn't like that part.
That's so crazy. I can't sit through the rest of this movie if all the effects look this bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just every shot, someone somewhere fell.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a nod to the old show.
It sure was. Because he used to just tilt the camera and they'd all go like this.
Yeah,
they'd hang onto the table.
Like Doctor Who.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and also I already told you the thing with his, like, his whole jacket thing was a big thing.
Yeah.
It was a big thing on the screen. Is
which
that
character
how you knew?
Is that?
Kirk. Anytime something was going down, he'd unbutton his shirt.
What I love is when they go onto the space station regular one and they've all got the pop collars, that 80s pop collar. I was like, man.
Well, no, he was the only one. Oh, yeah, everybody else had their collars nice and flat.
Oh, did they?
I noticed straight. That.
That's because he's the captain.
Yes. Yes. You got
also, he has the bloody handprint. I forgot about that. Scotty's nephew.
From Scotty's nephew, yeah.
Has the bloody handprint on his lapel the whole time. Yeah.
Also, the handprint changed in the next scene.
Did it?
Yeah.
Well, because he opened the thing.
They flipped the negative.
Well, that's the thing. Like, there's the majority of the time when something went down, the lapel would just appear open. But there's one point where you can see him just unbuttoning it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's on screen.
So you know he's doing it on purpose.
Why?
It shows you he's doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Like nothing else was distressed, just that one. But
it's a macho.
Yeah. What else? Yeah. What did you not like about it?
I already told you.
Collar.
I already told you. Chris Galley just threw me out of it.
Jakey Jake.
It was just small things like that whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the shirt was unbuttoned, or
I never spotted that once. I've seen it 50 times.
I've noticed it.
That continuity. It was minor gripes because I overall really liked it. It's like the blood, like the handprint on his shirt. Was a little looked a little different from the second one, so it was probably shot on a different day. You could tell it went from set to set as opposed to having little larger locations.
Everything very. This was a.
They're all like filled.
That's why it feels like a submarine
kind of thing.
What ends up happening is they throw so much money into Star Trek the Motion Picture to compete with Star Wars, and it ends up being just kind of boring. And it was basically a rehash of another episode.
And that was all effects.
And it was all effects. Yeah. And so Paramount was like, well, we'll do another Star Trek movie, but we're going to give you the minimum. So every time they do a movie, it's a minimal budget. Every time. So the Star Trek movies are almost they're low A pictures.
They're always done on the cheap. But they always make a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I'm trying to think. I think the only big scene as far as scenery wise was when they were in the cave.
Yeah.
That was it. There's no other point
the
where
cave.
The Genesis.
Yeah. Yeah, the Genesis project, cave. Yeah. There's no other point where they're in a large area.
Yeah. No.
And in that way, it feels like the TV show.
Yeah.
Because even when they beamed onto another planet, it was always pretty much the size of a soundstage. You know?
Yeah. That's true.
So, the thing is, it's such a strong story, and there's so much going on with the characters that's. I think that was the thing. Nicholas Meyer said, okay, we're going to get away from trying to compete with Star Wars on effects and get it back to these three guys. Yeah, you know?
And I love the interplay between Spock and Kirk and McCoy is great.
Uh-huh.
And
why you green-blooded?
But I will tell you what. I truly think that Ricardo Montalban, you know, say what you will. I know he has a bad rap because of Corinthian leather.
And Fantasy Island.
And Fantasy Island.
Yeah.
You could see he just relished every. Didn't get to do parts like that very often. So every line is like he's just giving it everything. And for me, I feel like Shatner, who is always notoriously Shatner. If you look at the scenes where now we know that Ricardo Montalban shot his stuff like 6 months earlier.
Uh-huh.
Ricardo Montalban has said in interviews that he's basically reacting to a script girl.
Wow.
But by this time, I feel like the dailies of whatever Ricardo Montalban. His shot are available, right? So Shatner's probably watching. If you watch the scene where they're interacting directly, where they're, or quote-unquote directly.
You cannot tell.
Shatner is the best Shatner's ever been as Captain Kirk. And it's great. And so I feel like he kind of upped Shatner's game.
Yeah.
I feel like his acting kind of upped Shatner's game. And it's still I love that he has one of the best death scenes. He's just quoting Melville. He's quoting Captain Ahab. And he's like, you know what? He basically, like at board game night, if I can't win, nobody wins.
Have at thee. I'll stab at you from the gates of hell.
Yeah, and it's like,
yeah, he's great.
And then just sets the bomb.
Every moment he's just relishing it.
He was really good.
Yeah.
I loved it. I love this movie.
Yeah.
Me too. I'm glad you guys liked it.
I really liked the glasses. I don't know. That really did it for me.
A bad joke.
No, but every time he's like putting it on for no reason, I loved it.
That got the biggest laughs. I remember the first time I saw that, and he's going, coming con. He's putting on the glasses.
So
and everyone
funny.
Just died.
But you know what's nice about that, though, is that it makes Kirk a human character.
Sure.
Whereas on the show, he was always kind of one-dimensional.
Yeah.
You're adding layers to him, and he's getting older, and he's not the guy. And that scene where Khan gets the jump on him is and the only reason he gets out of it is because Spock, kind of helps. Like, you see the interplay. Like, Kirk needs Spock.
Yeah.
Like, he does.
And he
needs McCoy.
Yeah.
And so it's he does things on his own, but, Spock gets him out of so many things.
Yeah.
And that's why that death scene is so touching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, whenever I watch that scene to this day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I choked up.
When he's in the corner and he's all messed up and Captain Kirk calls him, and you see Spock stand up and fix his uniform.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. And then he walks into the glass because he's blind.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That gets me every time.
I mean, his eyes already were pretty much closed most of the time anyways.
What does that mean?
What do you mean by that?
You look at Leonard Nimoy, he looks like he's always squinting.
Wow. But watching the movie, I wish he had just more. I felt like watching it, I didn't really learn too much about Spock. From that movie alone.
It wasn't a Spock movie.
But he didn't have much dialogue. I didn't really...
I'm sure you could give her a couple episodes.
Yeah, enough,
one where he goes to his home planet.
If that movie and just one, there wasn't much of Spock in it.
What I want to do is I want to start doing Weekly Trek Up again. I think this is the perfect group to do it with, but we already went through season one.
So it makes you hungry for more,
so
right?
we would be picking up at season two.
How about you just cherry-pick the best? They don't have to watch every episode.
That's true. Well, I want to go back to doing the weekly one from two on.
The problem with doing all of them is there are weak episodes.
That's what we want to do.
And it takes time, so maybe just picking the strongest one.
What was that?
How many episodes are in season one?
24? 27?
Mm. Challenge accepted.
We could binge watch.
Well, they're what, half hour?
They're on, it's on Netflix.
I can tell you what
half hour snippets.
Yeah.
Do you feel like they really start hitting their stride in the second season?
I think so. Well, it would be, you know what, it wouldn't be bad to pick up in season two because that's when Chekhov joins the cast.
And those are the strongest episodes.
So you would be seeing, and I think that's where Space Seed is. I think it's in season two.
Yeah, and if you want to know more about Spock, there's some great episodes. Yeah,
I'll send you some.
Yeah, I really only know Spock from the new movies.
Yeah.
That's why I felt for him in this movie that we just watched.
Because what they did with the new movies was interesting. They took the idea that there was this alternate timeline that they were following.
Yeah.
So Spock is more in tune with his emotions, and which in the original show, they really try to – they come forth once, but he's not making out with Uhura.
30 episodes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. That was a scene where everybody – the group on the old show was all, whoa.
But you know what? It didn't bother – it works for that.
Yeah.
That's why that
it
alternate –
it didn't ruin it, but I didn't see it coming.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then from then on, it's all,
she didn't see it coming either.
They're in the elevator.
Yeah. Yeah. Pon Farr.
She didn't see it coming either.
Hey.
Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum.
Whoop. That's the kind of joke you can expect.
They were knocking boots in the elevator.
That episode, though, that the movie's based on, what season is it on?
You know what? Let me see. Let's Google.
I don't know. I have...
Google Space Seed, would you...
There's 30 episodes in the first season, by the way.
Google Space Seed, it'll tell you
that's
what...
That's too long.
No.
No.
I know. You guys are used to 10-episode arcs now. It's like...
Kind of interesting, isn't it?
10, yeah. Oh, it's 10 hour
like an
long
hour. 22nd episode in first season, so you can watch it in the first season. I'm surprised it's in there that soon.
Oh, then I have to watch
But they were
the
long seasons, right?
What 30 episodes.
Yeah. 30, yeah. That was back in the day when you used to have like...
Even a network show doesn't do 30 these days.
Not even 22.
They're all an hour long, 50 minutes.
And minus commercials are shorter.
Well, on Netflix, there's no commercials, so it's 50 minutes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, technically,
really?
It's 50
minutes?
29 episodes for the
so
original
many,
cast
though?
And one episode
That's
for the pilot.
That's the first
30
seasons of Game of
Thrones. I watched it. It was crazy.
Yeah, the pilot is crazy. That's something to watch last once you've gotten the feel for the way it was.
When I first watched it, because I watched it in order, and the first episode, because it's not Kirk, I watched it and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? I know who's supposed
was
to
shouting
be in
at
this.
Well,
what
the fuck is this?
Is his name Kirk, though?
No, it's Captain Pike, who
Captain
ends up
Pike,
being in the movies.
Yeah.
He's like the guy that brings, in the first one, Captain Pike is the guy that brings Kirk to Starfleet. He finds him in the bar, and then he is like, you got to make something of yourself.
I thought that was a nice homage.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny is that's the only show. So they shot a pilot, and then NBC ordered another pilot. They said, you know, this first pilot, too brainy. Make it a little, dumb it down a little bit.
Like Lost in Space.
Yeah, and remake it. So they ended up cutting up the original pilot and using it with, they did a wraparound story with Kirk and Spock.
Uh-huh.
And Spock disobeys order because he's trying to help Captain Pike. And they go back and tell the story. So they reuse the footage from that episode. Dang. It was like a money-saving move. Yeah.
That's an interesting episode.
Gave him the reason.
Is it the menagerie or the cage?
Called the menagerie.
That's interesting because you see what happened to Pike.
Yeah. He doesn't end up in...
No.
Yeah. Anyway, so watch Star Trek, guys. It's no Star Wars, but it's good.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I think I got through six... I think the last episode I saw was The Salt Vampire.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a great one.
That's the one I had to watch because I was at the time we were talking about it, so I was like, I had to watch
that one.
That's
the ornament I got you, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's the one where Spock is like... He's like comes up and he's like, he actually has his like hands clasped together and he's trying to hit the lady in the face. It's so great. And she's just like, nope.
Yeah.
I love that some of those things are Christmas ornaments.
Yeah.
You go, here's a salt vampire. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. It was on my tree last year.
I put it on top of the tree. I took the angel off the top of the tree, and I put the salt vampire.
Yeah. And it's like grabbing Kirk by the head. It's great. Yeah.
Is that the one where he reduces them to like a cube shape?
No, they're just like a pile of salt. Like, right? No, it's like a pile of... of just like remains.
Yeah, yeah. Sucks all the salt out of the
body. It's got
that
round mouth with the
fangs. Yeah, it looks like a lamprey or something. Yeah.
It's awkward looking.
Yeah, I love it.
Awkward looking.
I love it.
I'd say you'd have to give me a week and then we can start season two.
Oh my gosh, you're really going to sit down and watch them all?
Yeah, we'll do it.
I did all of the Defenders. The
original show, I love the original Star Trek. And I'm like only recently in the last like maybe 5 years sat down and watched them all. And then, because I had seen it as a kid, and I liked certain episodes, and I knew some things, but I was like, I'm going to give it, and I ended up loving it. Everybody keeps telling me to skip the first season of The Next Generation, because I keep trying to get into Next Generation, and I just tried again recently. I got like halfway through the first season, and I'm like, it's not doing it for
me. You'll never.
I'm not doing it. It's not doing
it. It's funny, because I was clicking, go ahead.
Is it continuous stories, though, or does it...
The original one? No, it's just so different adventures. Yeah.
People didn't have that kind of attention span back then.
Well, it was just that wasn't the way shows were done. One of the first shows to do a continuing arc was probably like X-Files, where they had like a season-long arc that was interwoven through... Like, you would have standalone episodes, but then you would have an overarching thread that would kind of come... That was one of the first... Or Twin Peaks...
You know what?
Twin Peaks.
They were just talking about this because they were rerunning it because it's like the 50th anniversary. The first show that really got into that was The Fugitive with David Janssen.
Because
from week to week, he really was on the run, and you were seeing a story arc the whole season.
Oh.
And they just had a big binge on decades. They ran a bunch of them. And that was also one of the first shows to have a finale. They say now everybody always does a big finale. In those days, a show would just get canceled, and that was the end. And they said, no, we know we're going to end it, so let's end it with him finding the real killer.
Yeah.
So they said that was a big deal. They said, well, geez, I don't know. Will this screw it up in syndication? But it turned out everybody tuned in. So for its time, like 67, they said that was the most people to tune in to one show ever.
And if you've never seen The Fugitive, watch the Harrison Ford movie, then go back and watch David
Janssen. That's a great movie.
That is a good movie.
That's one of the few movies that was like as good or better than the source material.
The source material, yeah.
Great movie.
I fought this man.
I didn't do it. I don't care.
A man broke into my house. I fought this man.
That is a good one.
I can't do Harrison Ford.
Tommy Lee Jones is so good in that.
Pretty soon we got Blade Runner 2140,000.
Yeah.
What is it, October 6th?
2047.
Oh, that's like Harrison Ford was in an interview. He was at a panel at some con, and some guy in the audience asked him, so is your goal to remake every single successful movie franchise you've ever done? And he said, you bet your ass I am.
Yeah.
He was ready for that question because he knew some wise guy was going to go, hey, you've done you did Indiana Jones again, then you did Han Solo, now you're doing Deckard.
Yep.
And next he's going to do John Book.
Is that true?
No, I'm joking.
I don't know what that
I
means.
Want him to
That's
say,
from Witness,
Witness,
right?
Yeah.
I want him to finally say, get off my plane.
Yeah, Air Force One,
Oh, yeah, he
one,
could do a second
two.
One of those. He could kick Trump off the plane and go, get off God, my please. Plane.
He's old enough to be a president now. It makes sense.
I would rather have him than Trump any day of the week.
I'd rather have Don Knotts than Trump.
Oh, my gosh, Mr. Furley?
I'd rather have Leonard.
How would Mr. Furley handle...
What are you doing?
Yeah, Mr. Furley handling North Korea.
I don't know.
No, you're going to have to pipe down.
It would be better.
That
we
was
know
my
that.
Jimmy Stewart.
What are you doing?
Oh, good old Don Knotts.
Nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud.
Good old. He was no
Jimmy
Norman
Stewart.
Fell.
You're
he was,
married?
No. Just pipe down here. Let's just talk for a second.
How does did you like Furley better or Mr. Roper?
That's a show. I barely got through the first the first incarnation.
Really,
that's a show that overstays its welcome really quick.
Yeah, I remember
like
I was
Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yeah, I remember I was like 12 or 13 when I realized there's always a mistake.
I know there's always a misunderstanding. It's always something that could have been solved if somebody had just said, "Oh, you know, I was in the next room when you said that."
Just like Sansa and Arya.
That's right,
Sansa.
Come and knock on our door.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, which we haven't done in a little bit, and when we come back. We're going to try to maybe drop an ad in here. We'll see what we do. When we come back, we're going to have – it's quiz time. We haven't done a quiz in a long time. Are you guys pumped? All right.
He's all right. Yeah. Awkward.
Hi, I'm Ellen, and I'm scared we exist in the Matrix.
I'm Jasmine, and I'm bad at ad-libbing.
And you're listening to High Expectations, the promo. For our international listeners, you can appreciate our cute New Zealand accents. For our local listeners, you might bump into us in the street 3 times in the same hour. Our podcast is about pop culture,
sexuality,
relationships,
interesting hobbies,
banter, and ragging on each other.
You can find us on
Apple Podcasts,
SoundCloud,
Pocket Casts,
Podcast Addict,
or anywhere you might like to find podcasts.
Yay, please subscribe.
Goodbye.
We're back, everybody. What a lovely break. Everybody good?
Yeah, everybody.
So we're going to play a game called Mr. Lister's Quiz Shootout, which you can get at Target. All right? So I'm going to read – I have these cards. I'm going to read them off, and there's going to be a list on the card. The participants, so it's going to be John and Jake on Team 1. Team 2, the B team, will be Justine and Patrick.
Yay!
They're going to have a few seconds to list off start writing down any answers they have. We'll let them confer a second, and then they're going to – the shootout's going to start. They're going to start calling out answers back and forth, back and forth. They're going to call out 3 each. Whoever gets the most gets the card, and when they've collected 5 different cards, they win. Feel free to play along at home. First card is – here we go.
Yes.
So what, do we raise a hand or
– No. You write them down. Write them down.
That's it. Okay.
Write them down.
Yep.
How much time do we have?
According to the Smithsonian – you'll have a few seconds – list the top 10 most influential figures in American history. According to the Smithsonian, list the top 10 most influential figures in American history. All right. Well, there.
Does it have to be in the right order? Or just,
no, just write them down.
In order.
Just write stuff down.
In order.
Okay. Telling you, not on the card, but telling you people I would think are the most influential figures in American history. Okay. You guys don't need to talk along. I'll fill in the spots for you.
I get the picture.
It's just right.
Yeah. Okay.
You should just be writing right now. Okay. Pretty much just writing.
All right. No talking.
There should be 10. Jake, how many did you write down?
My history is really bad.
Top 10. Top 10 influence.
Same as my movies for this summer. Top 2.
Top 2. Okay. Well, maybe you'll hit. I'm, of course, going to my
– of course, they're both going to hit.
My top 10 influential people, Americans, would probably be, I don't know, maybe like a George Lucas. Yeah. Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
A guy who invented Coke Zero.
Wow. Yeah,
guy who invented
– bless him. Whoever invented pineapple on pizza. That's a guy.
That was a Canadian, actually.
All right, here we go. Let's put pencils down, everyone. Pencils down.
Wait a minute.
You only have a few seconds. You're supposed to write as many as you can.
Stop cheating.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's – yeah, there's only – you're not going to be able to get 10 in a row. You're not going to be able to get
– oh, that wasn't even the point.
No. Because you're both going to pool answers.
Yeah.
All right.
I see.
Yeah.
So we'll let B Squad go first. So your first answer, B Squad, if you got to take a second and confer.
This is the same as mine.
It's pretty close. Which one do you want to go with first? Justine has to go use the restroom, so I'm going to say Lincoln.
Yes, Abraham Lincoln is on there for 1. Yeah, there we go. Right.
Okay.
Patrick and or Jake and John? Jake and John? You guys can confer.
Okay, so wait, Washington.
Yeah.
George Washington, very good.
George Washington
is on there. All right.
That's right.
Yeah. Patrick, you're Booker in charge since yeah. we got a restroom.
I'm okay.
We took a break, right?
Yeah, we did.
Okay,
I knew you were going to say that. I knew at some point you were going to say, we did take a break, right?
MLK.
All right, you got 2 there. Martin Luther King, that's 2 for you guys. Jake and John.
FDR
is correct.
We're going to go with the other president, Kennedy.
You say JFK?
Yeah, I say JFK. He's not on.
JFK is not on there.
What?
Because it's influential.
JFK
He's
is
only
not
around there. Like 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. John, what do you guys have
too
for
soon,
you?
John.
Thomas Edison.
John, you got it.
Son of a bitch.
All right, top 10.
Take me home, John. Take me home.
Woodrow Wilson, Thomas Edison, MLK, John Marshall, Benjamin Franklin, Alexander Hamilton, FDR, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln.
Where's George Washington Carver?
Kennedy was not on there.
Yeah. JFK was not a man. All right.
Man, he's always getting the
short
end.
Let's pause a quick second while we wait for Justine. So I'm going to pause for just a second.
No.
So Henry Ford wasn't on there, huh?
So let's not talk while we pause for a second.
Stop and wait.
I just want a clean. All I want is a clean.
He's going to cry.
You're okay. Asking too much.
I'm sorry.
You're asking way too much.
Okay. There are 9 best-selling laundry detergents in the U.S.
Oh.
9 best-selling laundry detergents in the U.S. List them. List the 9 best.
Patrick should know. You do all our laundry.
That's a tidbit.
I only have 2. Oh, crap.
That's a tidbit. I'm going to give you... I give you 30 seconds, Admiral.
Oh, God. I have enough for a full
thing. Remember, I'm dealing with young adults here, so not a lot of knowledge of soap.
Oh,
I don't know 10 different brands of soap. Yeah. I buy one. Oh.
I know, you buy one and you're done, right?
Yeah, but you don't see the other
one for your life.
Does it work? Yes.
You don't see the other ones? You don't see commercials?
I ignore them.
Yeah.
How are you so bad at this?
I don't need ten different brands of detergent to clean my clothes. I need one.
Man.
All right. We're going to let John and Jake go first since he wrote down 1. John and Patrick.
3.
No, John and Jake. Sorry. Why are you looking at me like that?
I don't know.
All right. John, would you guys like to start?
Tide.
Tide is correct. Tide is on the list.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
Me.
All right.
Go ahead.
Downy.
Downy is not on the list.
Look at this, Justine.
Thanks, Justine.
Thanks, Justine.
It's the only 2 I had. Must be a softener.
Glad?
Glad is a trash bag.
No, it's not. There's Glade. Is it Glade? It's not like that.
Glade is a plug-in.
Glad is a plastic
bag. I have
a
brand of Glade.
That's 2 shots for you.
It's called Gain.
Oh, no, that's 2. That's 1 shot.
No,
you said
I saw it.
That's your second shot. Your second shot.
Gain.
Gain is correct.
Oh, thank God.
John and or softener.
Count Chocula.
Count Chocula.
That's not a sorry. Sorry.
Charmin?
No, I only had 2. Did you have any more?
Charmin is
toilet
just
paper.
No, it's not. There's a fabric softener too.
Charmin and Glad. Neither one of those are detergents.
Shut up.
I told you.
Washington,
you
Lincoln,
need to take
and Glad.
Yeah. Yeah. Jake's new name is the Albatross. That's his name.
Albatross.
Okay. Do you guys have their second shot is a blank.
I had Downy.
What are you guys shooting for? One wins it.
Literally, all you need to do.
One gets it.
You always shop for a detergent, so I never go in that aisle anymore.
Wow. How about that?
Because you always do it. What's the teddy bear?
We already lost.
What the fuck's the teddy bear?
He's Downy, isn't he?
That's Downy.
But that's a...
That's why I thought
Gain, and then there's the one with the arm, and I can't remember the arm.
Fabuloso?
Fabuloso is not laundry detergent.
Fabuloso?
You're halfway there. When you said arm, you're halfway there.
I know. I can't put
Arm and Hammer?
Yes!
Oh,
yeah.
That's what it was!
I love that. It's a detergent with an arm on it. An
Ajax?
Arm
Tide. Gain. All. Arm and Hammer. Purex. Extra. Era. Dreft. Whisk.
I've only heard of the 3.
I don't use any of those. I use Tide, and that's
what
the end of the story.
Is this?
These are all recent. You got a bottle.
I use Tide too.
I'm going to need it after that.
Right, here we go.
Only buy one. You don't need to buy 10 different brands.
It's kind of like toothpaste. Once you've picked a brand, that's it for life.
Yeah, there's only 3 on here. I would have gotten.
List the 9 most popular herbs grown in home gardens.
Herbs.
List the 9.
Oh, that's easy.
Most popular herbs grown in home gardens. 9 most popular herbs. I can think of a popular herb that is grown in gardens that is probably not. Of course, talking about cilantro, because this is a racist country.
Okay.
All right. A few seconds. Here we go. And you have 5 seconds.
I don't know. Garden.
Herbs, guys. Everybody uses them. All right, here we go. Jake and John, it is your turn. John, what do you guys have?
Marijuana.
No.
It's not on there?
Herbs.
That's an herb.
That's not an herb.
Isn't it?
John,
let's go with rosemary, the popular white one.
Rosemary is you take rosemary.
Popular white?
Yeah, my mom would always put rosemary
Question
on everything.
Question 2.
I got this.
What do you got?
Time.
is on your side. That is correct.
Love time.
Go, Jake. Go.
Mint?
Mint? Yes, correct.
Well, it's my turn.
Justine, all we got to do is win, so you know.
Whoa.
Gentlemen?
Basil.
Basil Rathbone, yes.
We would have also accepted Basil.
Mm-hmm. And that was your third shot. It's your third shot, gentlemen and ladies.
Let's go with oregano.
No.
No.
Really? Tied.
That's not an herb.
It's tied.
No points.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yes.
All right, so here was the list. Basil, chive, coriander, chives. Mint, yeah. Parsley, sage, rosemary, thyme, tarragon.
How about sage?
I had sage on my list.
What about sage?
All right, here we go. Last chance saloon. Yeah. What, one of you guys can steal it. So yep. Confer on this. As of 2015, how many U.S. states is it, in how many U.S. states is it legal to smoke marijuana recreationally? So there's your marijuana question, John. As of 2015, in how many U.S. states
is it legal? 2015?
Oh, because this is an old game.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think since then there's been a couple more.
As of 2015. In how many U.S. states is it legal to smoke marijuana recreationally?
What do you think?
One of us actually does drugs.
What do you think? Do you know this one?
No.
Okay.
Write it down. Just write down a number. So you agree on a number. Did you guys already figure it out?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Probably that because it's been that's a 2015 game. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Go.
Three.
That's what we were going to say.
Three.
Yeah.
Five.
Oh, it was five.
I was closest without going over.
Nobody gets that point.
We both said three.
What we're going to do. What we're going to do. Flip Price is right.
Yeah.
We're not going to do try to get five cards. It'll take forever. We're going to go to the bottom of the scorecard.
I love that.
So we have.
That's going to take forever.
It is. All right, here we go.
Hey.
According to liquor.com, there's a curly headed baby in here with a Blue's Clues shirt
and
on.
Then, all right. Then, you know, there's a small child as well.
We just got a letter. We just got a letter. We just got a letter. I wonder who it's from. We're getting sued. All right, now.
You know what? Shame on Steve. Shame on Steve.
What's this young man's name?
Joe.
Oliver.
Joe, the inferior host of Blue's Clues.
How's it going?
Do you want to,
Jake has not stopped talking this entire episode.
I have not.
Do you want to say, please, sir, can I have some more?
Can you say, please?
Do you want to jam your middle finger in his face? It's okay. I won't even get you in trouble.
Yeah, Dada's out there.
Oh, he said Dada. Hi, Oliver.
Say hi.
Let's try this.
He does not want you to touch him.
Hola.
Say hola.
Nope.
No. That's it, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
We have a visitor. It's Oliver and Emma. Hi, Emma.
Oliva.
Emma,
Oliva.
According to liquor.com, there are 10 ingredients in the perfect Bloody Mary. List them.
10?
10 ingredients in the perfect Bloody
Mary. I thought there was like
two ingredients in a Bloody Mary.
Do you want a different question?
Yeah.
Okay. According to the...
No,
I know this.
Yeah, okay. Do the one he
Let
knows.
Let me take it. All right. Let me
you
have
You
can't
this. Pull the plug on
yeah.
one he knows.
All right. Somebody broke it.
Who broke it?
I don't know. I saw somebody was messing with the board, too.
I don't drink Bloody Marys.
I love that. Somebody broke the spaceship, and they were messing with the board, too.
Mm-hmm.
Can I go first on this one?
Sure.
Thanks.
All right. Well, you guys, it's your turn anyway. So you guys ready?
Tea? Works out, yeah.
You need some time? 10 ingredients.
Say bye.
Bye.
Say bye.
Bye, Oliver. I like your shoes, buddy.
This is the only ingredient in that drink that matters to me.
All right. Go.
Vodka.
Yes.
You got it.
Next.
Celery salt?
Yes.
Damn.
Here, say this word.
Worcestershire sauce.
Yes.
Oh.
Tomato juice. Yeah.
Yes.
We need one more Justine to win.
Mm.
No, you could tie, because they have one more chance.
Yes, we do.
They haven't missed one.
They said celery, huh?
Celery salt.
Celery?
Celery.
Yes.
Olives.
In a Bloody Mary?
Yeah.
No.
Thank
you put them on top as a garnish.
It's a martini.
Vodka, tomato juice, Tabasco, lemon wedge, lime wedge, celery salt, horseradish, Worcestershire sauce, black pepper, smoked paprika,
I had pepper on my lips.
And a celery stock garnish.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
I thought they put olives
on it. Oh, it's so good.
I never had
No, that's a martini.
That's two cards for you guys.
I don't like, but
it's
the same
drink. We make micheladas, and I thought they were similar.
Here we go, John. Get ready.
Mm-hmm.
According to the jingle from the 1970s, there are 7 ingredients in a McDonald's Big Mac. List them. I can sing a song for you right now.
You got this one. I don't. Well, I know what's in it. Kind of.
Olives.
How many did you say? 7?
Olives.
7. According to the jingle from the 70s. There are 7 ingredients in a McDonald's Big Mac. List them. By the way, this is a perfect opportunity to tell you guys to watch The Founder with Michael Keaton.
That one I love really that good. Movie.
Fantastic. Hey, yeah, you guys recommended it to me. It was lovely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I'm missing one.
All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to do with this
John's
now.
Ready.
I'm going to be a stickler. It has to be the way it is in the jingle.
No.
Yes.
I wasn't around for that commercial.
Yep. It's been around.
No, but you've eaten one, so you know what's on.
I only had a Big Mac.
You need to know it
in
order, top to bottom.
Yeah,
you're gonna live longer.
You guys are in order.
Yeah, we're not gonna live as long as you.
We have to be in order. They don't.
You guys are ready. Go, John.
2 all beef patties.
Yes. See, that's the only one I was looking for. Everything else is fine.
Okay.
2 all beef patties.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know the song.
Buns.
No, but name what's the thing that's on the Big Mac.
Okay, lettuce.
Yes.
She got it.
John and Jake. John.
Special sauce.
Yep. Patrick and Justine.
Pickles.
Yes, sir. John and Jake.
Cheese.
Yep. John and, or Patrick and Justine.
Bun.
Got some buns, hun.
All right, I'm going to let it go.
No.
All right.
No.
The song is...
Sesame seed bun.
Sesame.
The song is... To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. All right, now.
Yes.
It is a tie.
Yes.
So, in millions for the tiebreaker, in millions, how many Big Macs are sold in the USA every year?
Every year.
I have 0 every year.
Well, not asking that.
Oddly enough, not asking that.
It's not always about you.
Is this Price is Right rules?
No.
Damn.
I want. Well, okay, let's do Price is Right rules to break the tie.
Yeah.
Closest without going over.
How many millions in a year?
Yeah, probably more than that.
I have no idea.
37 million.
37 million. What's your answer, gentlemen and ladies? 50 million. You are closest. It's 550 million.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
I was only off by 500.
Only 500.
550 million. There's Emma again.
Ziggy Stormtrooper.
Oh, thank
all right, here we go. There are 10 cosmetic surgery procedures that are popular in the U.S., that are most popular in the U.S. List them. 10 cosmetic surgery procedures that are most popular.
Do we have to list them by their technical name?
Yes. No, we could just say like it's a, you know.
Okay.
I'm getting my eyebrows stenciled on or whatever. this is a good time to admit to the listeners that I have never had plastic surgery.
What? But look at you.
I know, right?
Wow.
Yeah. You are so
you're like the model
lucky.
Of what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They're the one you're going to be sitting in the corners. Like you see that man. That man needs no lipo.
Yeah,
that means
I do
no
want
surgery.
To give. I do get a tattoo. It's just going to be a little square.
Perfect specimen.
A square right on my butt cheek, mm-hmm. and it, with your lips here. And then anytime somebody messes with me, I just point to it.
I see. Right here. That's more than the nature of a tattoo.
Place lips here. Yep.
You can easily get a
that's
tattoo.
That's the technical term. That's why I'm asking for technical terms.
All right, ready?
Yes.
I believe John went first last time, so let's start with Patrick and Justine.
Let's go with a rhinoplasty.
Which is
a nose job.
Nose job is correct.
Yeah.
Not a hand job.
Oh.
Dang.
Is that like being a piano player? All right, yes.
Pianist.
John?
Boob job.
Boob job is the number one.
Boob job.
I don't know if these go in order, but that
is
was...
Is there a technical term for boob job?
Yeah, breast implants?
Yeah.
That's it?
No.
Or reduction.
Well, they say rhinoplasty.
Tummy tuck.
Tummy tuck. I love tummy tuck. He's my favorite. He wrote all those Broadway songs. John?
Butt lift. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting.
Butt lift? No.
I don't even know. Is that a thing?
No, there is no butt. There's
butt
no butt
lift?
Sorry,
no,
Jake.
No butt.
No butt.
A facelift.
Facelift.
A butt lift.
And you guys want to throw a third one out there?
Even though?
Liposuction.
Liposuction. That's correct.
There
we go. It's usually
and Justine, now, again.
Butt implants are the thing right now.
Boob job, nose job, eyelid surgery, liposuction, tummy eyelid. Tuck.
Eyelids face, are for Asians.
Facelift, what is it? Breast lift, dermabrasion, forehead lift, ear surgery.
Did you say forehead lift?
No, because their eyelids have several folds, and so they get those reduced.
No.
Or so they just can open up more.
See.
What so are you guys so
they,
doing?
They look like an anime.
What are you guys doing?
They get the speed racer eyes.
Oh! The opinions reflected by the crew do not reflect the opinions of the host.
But they do.
Nor should they be taken as gospel.
But they do.
All right, guys. There are 8 competing Olympic events in the men's and women's gymnastics programs.
Everyone has caught that wrong. What did he say?
Shout out to the last High Expectations podcast. There are 8 competing Olympic events in the men's and women's gymnastics programs. List them. Just think of the movie Gymkata, guys.
In gymnastics?
8 competing Olympic events in the men's and women's gymnastics programs. List them.
I'm out of paper.
Here. Here's a sheet of paper right here.
Thanks. Do you have any idea?
8.
No.
Men's you're interested gymnastics? In
if I show you it.
I never watched
it. I have one.
I never watched the... Write it down. I never.
Why do you never watch the Olympics, man?
No.
What's it called?
8 competing events. U.S. men's and women's gymnastics. No, in the men's, not just U.S.
I don't know
US.
What they're called.
This?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
I'll read it.
I'll
read it. All right, guys, ready?
Ready? Yeah, sure.
Oh, I know what this is. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
We're first.
No, you went last.
John and Jake.
Balance beam.
Yep, that is correct. Balance beam is correct. Patrick and Justine.
Oh, I do have one.
Rings.
Rings. Yep.
Ring.
The John and Jake.
The high bar?
High bar. Correct.
Okay. Does that mean I was right?
Is that a thing?
Patrick and Justine.
The horse?
Well, pommel horse, but we'll take horse.
Thanks.
What's a pump? What?
It's the small. It's like the balance beam, but it's the small thing with the two arms on it. Yeah, okay.
John and Jake.
Parallel bars?
The parallel bars. Patrick and Justine.
Doo-doo-doo.
You got it? Whatever that jumpy mat is called.
That's what I was saying. I don't know what it's called. I told him I would show you.
No, the jumping mat.
But you have to get a name for it.
Yeah, what's the name of it?
Maybe it's called jumping bar.
All right. You guys get a card.
The launch pad.
Floor, pummel horse, steel, steel rings, not steel, still. Vault, parallel bars, horizontal high bars, uneven bars, or balance beam.
All of this can be found in gymnastics.
Yep. All right, last question.
The amazing sport of gymnastics.
You have, how many cards do you guys have?
5.
Oh, you guys are 1 already.
Yeah, it's over.
They're two of them are the same.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, here
so
we go.
They haven't won.
So
yet.
This is, yeah, this is just...
for all tomorrow.
This is just for... You guys won the game, but this is just for
gigs. They need 1 of each.
They have more wins on here.
1 of each.
List the 10 most populous English-speaking countries where English is the first language.
Populous. Where English is the primary language?
Mm-hmm. English being their first language.
This is 2015, right?
List the 10 most...
I don't think it would change.
It might change.
In two years.
List the 10 most populous English-speaking countries, English being their first language. 10 most populous.
Who else speaks?
Yeah, I can't.
Who else speaks English? Not very many.
No.
Their first language.
Yeah.
I know.
Let's go with that, and then let's go with these 5.
Yeah, those are obvious.
I only got 3.
That's
No.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
All right, Patrick and Justine.
I'm 100% on that.
All right, go ahead.
Canada.
What are you thinking?
Canada, yes, sir.
Booyah, bitches. I mean,
whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Jake and John.
The United States.
America. All right, correct.
Mike?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you should say that.
England.
The UK, we'll call it UK, yes. So England, Scotland's folded in there too.
Right.
Imperialism.
That's
all right.
What she said.
And who's next?
Ireland. Is that part of UK?
Ireland. No, Ireland.
That's good. Their own thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Oh, shit, I broke that.
Do the first one.
What happened?
Wow, that thing is just coming apart.
No, I didn't.
It all right. Off the pop. Justine and Jake.
Ah.
You.
Justine and Patrick, sorry.
And Australia.
Australasia, yes, sir.
She actually stood up for me.
Correct.
Wow. That's it. We won.
John and...
New Zealand.
New Zealand. Shout out to the High Expectations podcast.
The Kiwi.
That is correct. So it is a tie. So here's the tiebreaker. How many hours...
What was the other one?
How many... Oh, I'm sorry. Let me read them. USA, UK, Canada, Australia, Ireland, Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
New Zealand,
yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
South Africa,
South Africa,
Philippines.
I was going to say that
and
next.
Jamaica.
That was my other card.
South Africa,
Jamaica. That's the primary language.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep,
yeah,
yep.
That makes sense.
Philippines, they're forced to speak in English because you get in trouble if you speak in Tagalog.
Holy!
How many hours on average does it take for someone to learn good conversational English? How many hours on average does it take for someone to learn good conversational?
It just takes English. My fair lady.
That's 2 hours.
Answer.
How many hours?
How many hours?
On average. Closest without going over.
Price is right rules.
John and Jake, would you like to wager a...
Go for it.
No, we're going to go second, right?
You want to go second?
They won, so they go first.
Yeah.
Patrick and Justine.
We're going to go 300.
300.
Don't say 301. Don't be that guy.
You can go one lower if we think it's going to be less.
Oh,
I think it'd be more, though.
Yeah, take a shot. I have no idea.
301.
You son of a bitch.
360.
But we win. All right.
How many different cards do you guys have?
Three.
And how many different cards do you guys have?
Four.
Oh, they still win.
Okay.
Wait, why?
No, I have three different cards.
Oh, tiebreaker.
There we go. There we go.
That's a different card.
No, it's not.
Here we go. We got to go tiebreaker.
Doesn't look like old-time Tubby's root beer.
Double Jeopardy.
There are 12 countries in South America.
Uh-huh.
12 countries in South America.
Yes.
Name them.
All of them?
Name all of them. 12 countries in South America.
South America. No. Yes.
Yes.
Your paper's so much neater than mine.
Can I have another piece of paper?
Yes. You don't need that much time.
I thought I was wrong.
Well, I...
Oh. There you go. And time. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that one's good. Look at us. We got it.
12 countries in South America.
Is this too?
What? Yes. Yeah, I know what you're trying to say.
Okay.
No.
No, how do you say it? Guadalajara.
Shut your damn mouth.
Thank you. Shut my pie hole.
Did you say Guadalajara?
I said guacamole.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a country.
12 countries.
I hate you.
In South America.
So we get to go first, right?
No. Yes.
All right.
Let him
time
go
up.
First. Let him go first.
Pencils down. Patrick and Justine.
Brazil.
Brazil is correct.
Brazil.
John and Jake.
Mexico.
No.
Yeah, dude.
Huh?
No.
That's South America.
South America.
That's right there, North America.
South America. Oops.
What is that?
I appreciate the show of solidarity. It's okay. It's not over yet. John and Patrick and Justine.
Costa Rica.
Yes, sir.
Costa Rica.
Peru.
That's Peru.
I believe the next stop on our Latin America trip is going to be
Venezuela.
Oh, that's right. Fernando Venezuela, one of the greatest pitchers of all time. Nobody got that. And Patrick and John and Jake in
Brazil.
We already said Brazil.
Argentina.
Yeah.
That's right. Argentina in the news lately.
Brazil, all right. Costa Rica,
all right.
Venezuela, Peru.
So here we go. Yeah, yeah.
Peru.
Argentina, Brazil, Uruguay, Paraguay, Chile, Peru, Bolivia,
Ecuador,
Colombia, Venezuela, Suriname. People forget Suriname.
It's and tiny, never heard isn't of it.
And Guyana.
And Cuba doesn't count, right?
Cuba, no. Cuba is not South America. Cuba is in the Caribbean.
El Salvador?
That's Central America.
Oh, yeah.
Honduras, Guatemala.
Can I have that card?
Well.
I want to see if it's a different one. It's different. We won.
Yeah, yeah.
Yay!
He has one. That's it, guys. That's our game. What are you playing at?
Woo. I got Howling Coyote Moonshine.
Just so you guys know, I watched, we got Wonder Woman on, we got it on DVD. It came out yesterday.
So how's that bonus scene?
Was it good?
Yeah, it was great.
How about that last 30 minutes?
Mario, how was the bonus?
I don't watch bonus scenes. I don't watch any of the extras. Nope.
Why?
Pretty snotty.
The director the director put the movie the way out it was supposed to be put out, and that's it. I don't need to see it.
I don't buy that. There's an extra scene,
even,
I want
to
see it.
You don't even listen to the commentary?
No. I don't need to know.
Interesting.
I
love that stuff.
Well, sometimes
I haven't watched the extra scene yet.
Okay. It sounds like you're not.
Oh yeah,
going
I will.
To.
No, I'll watch it. Oh, okay. I will definitely watch it. I'm just giving you a hard
they,
time.
Sometimes they cut it for time too.
Yeah. Sometimes though,
I know people that have no interest in the commentary track, and not every movie needs a commentary track.
I have no interest in extended editions on movies I don't care about, like Batman versus Superman. Why are you giving me more of a movie I don't like? You know what I'm saying, bro?
Well, then don't buy it.
It's got a point, you know.
But I did enjoy Wonder Woman. It's great. It looks great.
The bonus scene is her in the invisible plane.
Is that true?
No. Trying to find her invisible.
But it's a prop plane.
Trying to find the invisible. She's got that beep, tweet.
It's just her, walking around.
The keychain has got the beep.
It's her walking around an airport, just going, like, putting her remote up to her chin and trying to get the
yellow.
Yeah. Trying to get the. So I wanted to give a couple of quick shout outs to a couple of podcasts that I listened to over the past week before we sign off for today. But I think we had a good show today, guys. You know, we don't talk about it enough, but we always want to thank, you know, this show is brought to you in part by our friends here at Undercity Comics, who have a lovely studio here. And if you decide you want to do a podcast and you live in the LA area, come down and check it out. They have great facilities. The board is here all set up for you. I bring some of my own equipment in, like the recorder, but they'll have someone here to help you. Renee or somebody will actually record the show for you if you don't have a way to record it, and they'll send you the file, and then you can upload it using Podbean or whatever podcast app you have. So if you want to come down and check them out, or if you just want to see what it looks like, go to their website, www.undercitycomics.com. And we don't mention them enough, but they're really nice to let us come in here and take over for 2 hours every week and not give us any, you know, and Renee comes in, like this today, came in and helped me set up the board. We're having some issues, you know, free, didn't, you know, just comes in and does it of his own version. So come down here and buy some comics. They have a great, there's toys and statues and there's a few board games here. A lot of comics, a lot of, what I love about them is they have a whole wall of trades and hardcover comics, which I love. So we have friends that
friends in high places.
Well, we have friends in high places and we have friends in low places. One of our friends, the Retro Convo, we talked about last week. Our friend Ernie was supposed to join us last week, couldn't join us, but they do a really great kind of nostalgic look at some of the movies from their childhood. And now I found out there's another great podcast called Fun Dip and Cherry Coke. And this is a young lady whose name I am going to find out right now. But you can follow them at Fun Dip Pod. And her name is hosted by Kira. Kira Napoleon is her Twitter handle, at Kira Napoleon. Check it out. They did a really good episode. Their first episode was on a movie called Return to Oz, which my brother was obsessed with when I was younger.
Really? Why?
He loved, you know what?
It's a dark movie.
Here's the thing.
It's a very dark movie.
He took my niece to see it. He was already married, took my niece to see it like in 84, 85.
How old is she?
My niece was a little kid, maybe like 3 or 4.
Okay.
My brother was obsessed with the sound. He said it was one of the best sounding movies. So I looked it up after I listened to the first episode of Fun Dip and Cherry Coke. Turns out it was directed by Walter Murch,
who's
a sound designer.
Did Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
And he's just, that's his thing. And it's like the only movie he ever directed, I think, was Return to Oz. The second one.
And you know what's funny? It's one of those movies that completely passed me by. I haven't seen it. I listened to their.
Oh.
And here's the thing. We mentioned Nicole Williamson early on in the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nicole Williamson plays, I guess, the Gnome King in that movie.
You know, it's worth catching. Firouza Balk is Dorothy. It's very dark. Jean Marsh.
If you only know her from The Craft.
It's so you haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it.
It's really a an interesting movie and very dark. Very dark.
They were making allusions, and from the preview I remember it looked like what later on would come out was A Neverending Story, which was out like maybe a year or two later.
Yeah.
Which I've seen, but it kind of reminded me, they kind of had that tone. I don't know why I never saw.
They got into some characters that weren't in the original movie, like Jack Pumpkinhead. And TikTok is like a sort of like an automaton, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not a spoiler to say that the tone is set by the fact that early in the movie, because she's telling people about all this crazy stuff she saw, they want to like send her to like something like electroshock therapy or something.
Whoa.
So it starts on a very dark note before she gets back to Oz. Yeah.
This is like the early days of Disney going dark, I guess.
Yeah, it's odd that this is a Disney movie. It's almost like they were thinking it was almost like going to be a Touchstone movie or something. They didn't know what the heck.
Well, I think what happened was Disney bought the rights to Wizard of Oz.
They've got the rights to everything but the first one that MGM had. The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. I think they've got the rights to all the other books, or at least they did.
That's crazy.
Which is why they said, okay, we'll pick up where that one left
off. And then they just did The Great and Powerful Oz recently, which I didn't see.
Yeah. So I think if
did anyone see that?
It was pretty good?
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't bad.
Decent.
Pretty interesting effects, yeah.
It was good.
It was okay.
But you see why she gets so mad.
This is an origin story of Wicked Witch.
They show her turning green.
Yeah. That's right.
And you're like, oh.
That's why. I wonder why they didn't do a second one. I guess it didn't make
sense. Because he's a player and she a jealous girl. That's all it
was. Was that James Franco playing the wizard?
Yeah. James Franco.
I totally forgot about that movie until it just popped into
and
my head
right
now.
And who was that? Who directed that? Was that Tim Burton? Or?
I don't think so.
I do know Danny Elfman did the score for it, so maybe.
Not enough stripes in it to be Tim Burton.
Not enough stripes.
It's always a...
It wasn't bad, but I wonder... It must not have made that much money because they would have done a second one immediately if it had made a lot of money.
I think Disney's been really trying to they've been trying to make a kind of a tentpole series. They tried with John Carter and they just can't seem to hit it.
My understanding was they had the rights to everything but that first book or that the one that MGM did. You know, that might have changed because that was years ago. But initially, that's what they snapped up, I think, was the rights to all the other books. Because, you know, there were like 20 Wizard of Oz books. You know?
Yeah.
Sam Raimi was the director.
Oh, is that right?
Wow. He really did it? Wow. I'm going to have to check it out then.
Yeah. Now,
I'm a huge Sam Raimi guy.
Exactly.
So, a lot of Zoom.
But check out Return to Oz. It's odd. It's a really odd movie.
I want to check it out.
Yeah.
I just, after our conversation last week, I rewatched The Rocketeer.
Yeah.
And boy, that is a movie that doesn't get enough love.
It doesn't. And it didn't at the time.
No.
I complained bitterly when that came out. People just did not care. And it was beautiful. It's a beautiful movie.
Very well done.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that Black Mirror won an Emmy?
No.
For San Junipero?
Did
you guys watch that show?
No.
Mm. Black Mirror?
Yeah.
You were
talking about it last
it's
week.
So good.
The Black Mirror.
It's basically a UK version of the Twilight Zone.
But really, really adult.
Really?
If you're going to watch
it. It's on BBC America.
It's on Netflix.
Well, we remember John. We were talking about John. John.
Well, if you're going to watch it, though, don't watch the first episode.
Don't.
I only watched that episode once, and I will never go back to watch
nightmares.
It.
Nightmares? It gave you nightmares?
It's just bad.
Oh, it's bad. Okay.
It's
bad.
The story. I can't swallow it.
Because isn't it all about? It's all about how technology is. It's basically the whole overarching theme is like, it's all like technology
all
gone bad. Yeah.
Oh,
right?
Really?
Yeah. Like that's basically the twist is that it all has to do
but
with
it's an anthology. It's not the same characters every week, right?
Is it
different?
Yeah,
okay.
But it's described to go. It's just like the Twilight Zone. Mm. Like, okay,
except people are banging like every 2 minutes.
Is that true?
That's why he always thinks I'm watching porn or something.
So it's like Lord of the Rings. Like Lord of the Rings if Lord of the Rings is Twilight Zone, Game of Thrones is Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Okay.
More nudity.
Yeah.
If you're gonna watch an episode, start with White Christmas. That's the Jon Hamm one, and that one's really good.
Just because you like Jon Hamm.
Jon Hamm's in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby, not really. Not harsh on the eyes.
Baby Driver's out on streaming, and I picked it up. It's fantastic, and I watched it again. And Jon Hamm does a great job in that.
He does.
Yeah.
That's all
right.
Good.
I approve.
All right. So check out Fun Dip and Cherry Coke podcast. is, I think the name, I want to make sure I get their name right.
Ooh, I like both of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that a great? Like the podcast.
It makes me happy hearing that.
Yeah, and it, she's a really good host. It, she's, you know, they have a Friends on. She has a Friends on, and they just talk about nostalgic. So there's a lot of podcasts that do like nostalgia stuff like that, but I love them all because everybody, it's something that people genuinely have a love for, which is different than our podcast where, where we're trying to force stuff. Like John and I are trying to force our nostalgia on you. You better watch King Kong and love it. Love it like I love it. You don't love it? What's wrong with you?
I will watch first season of Star Trek, though.
It's fun. It is fun. It's good. Check it out. Yeah, Fun Dip and Cherry Coke. And just go to Fun Dip Pod. You can follow Fun Dip Pod. And, of course, you know, shout out to everybody in the Castaways group, our friends at Nerdy Bitches, at Home Video Hustle, of course, Kung Fu Drive-In, Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In, History of Bad Ideas, What Were They Thinking, High Expectations, High on Life. So check out all those podcasts. All right, make a list. Slow my voice down.
Check it twice.
I know I forgot somebody. Cult 45. You know, why don't we just go to the members over here?
Memory, all
alone in the moonlight. Oh, Besotted Geek. Kung Fu Driving Podcast. Besotted Geek. The Horror Club. Home Video Hustle. Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In. History of Bad Ideas. Nerdy Bitches. High Expectations. Everything I Learned from Movies. Useless Debates. Heil on Life. Cult 45, What Were They Thinking? Wrestling Nerd Alliance. Those are all podcasts you can check out. Check them out. You will find something you like, I promise. All right, guys. Until next week, when we will have a... We'll be back with a vengeance. We'll be back to talk about... There's a lot building up back in the Trump Dump file, so I'm sure we're going to have one of those very soon. And just not to end on a downer, but please, 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 the Caribbean, Puerto Rico... Florida, they've all been devastated by hurricane. First Hurricane Irma came through, now Hurricane Maria, which was a Category 2, jumped to a Category 5. There was a huge earthquake in Mexico City. 248 people, at least as of this morning, including 20 children who were buried in a school. If you guys can do anything to help anything, Red Cross, whatever you need to do, Google it. I wish I had the capacity to organize people and organize fundraisers. I've seen a lot of people do fundraisers for the victims of Hurricane Harvey, things like that. I wish I had that capacity. But all I can do is ask you guys to please check out charities, something you can do to help these people. Send thoughts, send prayers, send positive vibes. And, you know, we'll keep Mexico and keep everybody in the Caribbean in our thoughts. So until next time, guys, fight the power. And this transmission ends now.